and thanks for listening to the USGS Corecast. I'm Clarice Nassif-Ransom. It's October 26th, and we're going to talk about the science behind wildfires. I want to begin by expressing that our hearts go out to those impacted by the Southern California wildfires and to those who are helping to fight the fires. Today, we are joined by USGS scientist Eric Berg, a wildland fire expert. Eric will help describe some of the tools available to identify wildfires and risks, show how science helps provide real-time information to those fighting the fires, and talk about what will happen after the wildfires occur. Thanks for joining us, Eric.
I'm glad to be here.
Can you tell us how wildfires occur and who is vulnerable nationwide?
Wildfires occur both from natural causes, such as lightning, and also by man-made causes, human causes, such as barbecue grills left unattended, fireworks, a whole host of things.
And who's vulnerable to them nationwide?
You know, Clarice, I'll tell you, that's the thing. Really, nobody is exempt. Virtually everything that we find in our communities is in the wildland-urban interface. That's the place where both wildland fuels and residences, communities get together. And virtually everybody is affected by the wildland-urban interface. There's nobody exempt.
Okay, and how does USGS science inform the public about wildfires? Can you describe some of the tools that we have available and how they work?
Well, we do lots of things in to support the wildland fire community that actually does the suppression of these wildfires. Perhaps if we can organize it based on what we do prior to the fire, during the fire, then after the fire is perhaps the easiest way to frame the discussion. First of all, before the fire, we have scientists all across the country looking at many issues such as the cover of vegetation, different species across the landscape. There are particular species such as chaparral plants that are currently burning in Southern California that are particularly prone to fire. And so we can tell, we can predict where those are actually on the landscape. Also, we can tell drainage patterns where we potentially could have problems with water and erosion on the landscape. We can do all this in advance. And so many of our scientists are involved in activities to do exactly that. The next thing is during the fire incident itself. Right now, there are something like 14 or 15 major wildfires in Southern California. And our assets in USGS are providing real-time information to the incident commanders and the fire community to help suppress the fire. Specifically, we have products like GeoMac. And by the way, you can find that on our USGS website. And GeoMac is a real-time information product, web-based, that actually shows the location of the fires, their sizes, the fire perimeters, resources out in front of the fire to help firefighters, others in the incident command team, do their jobs to understand what resources are at stake. And we have many other products. For example, we have satellite imagery provided by the AeroStata Data Center, USGS AeroStata Data Center in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, that shows where the wildfires are at, trends through time. Finally, after the fire, again, we can shine because we have scientists that contribute their time to figuring out where, for example, we're going to have debris flows, what areas on the landscape are particularly at risk. The other thing we do is we'll get, again, an estimate of where, with those fires that we've just experienced, where invasive exotic vegetation will occur. That, again, will show us problems that we will experience in the future. Water erosion. We have many water specialists in USGS that can help with those efforts after the fire.
That sounds terrific. Is there any advice or message that you would want to give the public on wildfires, science, how we can help make science available to them to make them safer?
Probably the best advice I would suggest is keep current with information that's provided by USGS and many of our partners, and certainly it's not done by our agency in a vacuum. We work closely with the U.S. Forest Service, the states, private individuals, universities, NGOs, non-governmental organizations. Stay current with information. You can do that through websites. Probably one of the very best websites for current fire statistics is the National Interagency Fire Center. If you'll simply put that in search engine, look for National Interagency Fire Center. Great source of accurate, non-biased information on wildland fire.
Is there anything that you'd like to add that I didn't ask or that you'd like to share?
Only this, that we must not forget that this is not an isolated series of incidents. All too often in America, we have short-term memories. Remember, it was just 4 years ago in 2003 when we were once again in Southern California with major wildfires. These wildfires are going to keep burning, quite frankly, in these fuel systems that we have. In chaparral in Southern California, these vegetation types experience frequent fires. So don't think, please, that this is an isolated series of incidents. This is going to keep happening again. There are many programs to help homeowners, landowners, with their property to ensure that they minimize the risks of wildland fire. I'm talking specifically with the FireWise program, the FireSafe program, community wildfire protection programs. All these programs are available mostly through federal support and state and private support at no charge for communities to get involved. So stay involved with your community to make sure your residence is fire safe.
Well, thanks again for joining us, Eric. We really appreciate it. And thanks to all of you for listening to this episode of CoreCast. You can find out more information about the science behind wildfires at usgs.gov/hazards/wildfires. CoreCast is a product of the U.S. Geological Survey, Department of the Interior. Until next time, I'm Clarice Nassif-Ransom.